God's blessings to you as we look at a few more thoughts about 1 John chapters 4 and 5 and some reference to cults and other false ideas and teachings and groups as well. We always want to begin with prayer, and so we pray, Lord our God, be with us and bless us as we search the scriptures and think about them in contrast with many ideas that we hear today from all kinds of groups, some clearly not Christian, but other groups that claim to be Christian and use biblical terms and ideas and yet drift away from the truth of the scriptures themselves, and especially the centrality of Christ and Christ alone as our Lord and Savior. Bless us as we think about these things and and guide us as we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As I indicate in what I've sent to you in my preparing for worship this week, I mentioned that there are false teachers who deny that Jesus really suffered and died on the cross. And I mentioned some groups like Gnostics and Marcion and other Gnostic people, Islam, and other groups as well. And in order to say that Christ never suffered and died, you have to throw out large portions of the scripture, obviously, to say such a thing. But some do. And if you have a Lutheran study Bible, you could look at a short discussion about this on page 1561. It talks about this issue and what are called false writings. The fancy word is pseudepigrapha, but they're false writings written after the time of the New Testament, which don't come from Christians, but are sometimes claimed, people claim that they're speaking in a Christian kind of way. There's a description of some of those that are there. Martin Luther and others quote from an early church father speaking about such things and about John chapters 4 and 5. And this early church father was called Irenaeus, and he wrote about Gnostic heresies. And Gnostic is a word that simply means having knowledge, special secret knowledge that only certain people had, and they passed it on to others. That was a very popular idea in that period of time, especially after the time of Christ, and among other groups, secret knowledge. And many of the religions at that time kind of operated that way, that you had to find secret knowledge from them. And one of those people, a Gnostic, was someone by the name of Cerinthus. And Irenaeus writes about him. And what he says in an earlier form by others may have caused John to write then what he wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. And if you'd want to turn to those verses, that's one of the things that we'll be talking about. Cerinthus taught that Jesus was a superior man, but only a man. And at his baptism, of this man, Jesus, the heavenly Christ came upon him for a time, some superior spirit of some kind, but then left him, so that only the man Jesus died on the cross, Cerinthus said. That meant, according to Cerinthus, that the man dying on the cross was not really Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior, dying to pay for our sins, but someone pretending to be that, or God even created something to make it look that way. Gnostics then emphasize secret knowledge, this gnosis, that people need instead of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And they reject in the process much of the scriptures and above all, the central issue that Christ died for our sins. It's there in Gnosticism, but in other groups as well. In clear contrast, Jesus speaks in his gospel and letters, and in 1 John 5, 6 to 8, of Jesus being the very Son of God, the Savior, all of his life. And if you read through 4 and 5 of 1 John, you see that over and over. And that's clearly shown also in the public ministry of Jesus, when at his baptism, with water and the Spirit, at the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus is identified as the Father speaks from heaven, as the beloved Son of God the Father, with whom the Father is well pleased. Jesus then continued to be God the Son, never stopped being God the Son, even from his birth onward, the Son of God as well as a true man, God and man for us. And that continued on even as Jesus shed his blood on the cross as payment for all of our sins. Jesus prayed from the cross, "Father, forgive them." That's why he was there dying on the cross. And as Jesus died, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He was willingly doing what his Father had called him to do for the salvation of the world. And then John is always emphasizing the water and the blood, key events in the life of Christ, and that it's Jesus, true God as well as true man, who is there doing this saving work. And that Jesus really did suffer and die in payment for our sins. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, John says, also testifies throughout the scriptures, including these things that John is writing and the other scriptures. And the New Testament emphasizes that these writings came by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was leading and guiding these writers to say the things that they had to say, and that they got down accurately then the word that God wanted people to hear, and that therefore the scriptures are inerrant, they're infallible, they tell us the truth about what God wants us to know as his people, and you don't add to them or subtract from them as far as key teachings of the scriptures. And the Holy Spirit testifies that Jesus is the Son of God all through his life and his ministry, and also in his mighty resurrection from the dead. John says in this little section in 1 John 5, 6 to 8, these three agree, the Spirit, the message of the scriptures, and the water and the blood. So all the things that happened in the ministry and life of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And again, that little passage may seem kind of obscure to us today, but it is clearly there because John is not only speaking what is true, but also answering false ideas that existed even at that time. In the Lutheran Study Bible, in the verses I mentioned to you earlier, indicates that there was a man by the name of Marcion as another example of a false Gnostic teaching and teacher. Marcion rejected most all of the scriptures and denied the Christ of the scriptures and taught that Jesus was, again, some kind of middle-level spirit being who came to teach his disciples a body of secret knowledge. Again, this Gnosticism, these secret ideas. Marcion's false teachings then had some effect. People were listening to these things. They fit with other teachings of some of the other religions around them, and they had some influence, and they caused the early Christian church to say more about defining and defending the books of the Bible, even more than they had already been doing. Emphasize how important these books are and Scripture alone as our foundation. And you'll find that again in the Lutheran Study Bible, page 1561, Another of my favorite commentators, Martin Franzmann, talks about this in his Concordia Bible with Notes, and I give a reference in the passages there. That's a hard book that's long out of print and hard to find, but some very valuable things for us. And his talking about Cerinthus is helpful for us too. And again, Luther thought these same ideas, and that's what he had learned and understood, and Franzmann emphasizes them as well. And again, this whole idea of watching out for these Gnostic teachings and other false teachings are important because there have been a number of liberal religious scholars in very recent times who, since a few of these Gnostic writings were rediscovered, I guess you could say, in the 1940s, and some latched onto them and wanted to make them superior to the writings of the scriptures themselves, even though they were actually written much later and reflect these Gnostic ideas of secret special knowledge and other ideas that Christians have rejected again and again. They did in the early church. That's why these books were not included in the scriptures, and as time went on. And you may remember the popularity of a book called The Da Vinci Code and some other things that came along with that, and radical religious ideas from that period, as if these Gnostic writings were the true writings, and the Bible is not the true writings. And whenever you run into something like that, know that it's far off base and way against what the scriptures say. And even within the scriptures, the early forms of these ideas were being answered by John, for example, in this passage. And instead, the scriptures we know of as the Holy Bible, the Old and New Testaments, the Word of God, are the foundation on which we still stand. And those are the important things for us to look at, not to many other ideas and writings and thoughts. Some are also surprised that Islam also says that Jesus did not die on the cross. And of course, Islam is a later religious development from Muhammad and hundreds of years after the time of Christ. And there are different ideas that you have from different Muslim groups. But most Muslims would say that Jesus was only a prophet. They do mention him a tiny bit, but hardly at all. And that he was taken directly to heaven. And that God or someone made a different person then who may have looked like Jesus. And it's that person who died instead of Jesus, the prophet, the real Jesus, you might say. And such ideas are found in their holy book, the Quran, written down by Muhammad hundreds of years after the time of Christ. And there are other traditions, the Hadith and other traditions of Islam that say the same thing. And God would not, in their view, allow one of his true prophets to suffer such a terrible death. Therefore, Jesus did not really die on the cross. What that means then is that there's ultimately no savior in Islam. That pretty much they would reject most of our other biblical scriptures and teachings and the idea of Jesus as Lord and Savior and God become man for us. Sorry about my cough that I still have from a cold I've been struggling with, but finally doing some better from. But people are responsible themselves for doing enough of what Allah wants them to do. That would be the Islamic idea. It's a salvation by works and effort, and again, what the Quran says, not what the scriptures say. And then people have to hope that Allah will be merciful to them, because there are no certain and absolute guarantees. However, that is why some Islamic people are willing to be martyrs, to give their lives standing up for Islam, dying for the cause of Islam, doing a warfare, you might say, for Islam, since that is one of the few ways that, at least Islamic tradition says, that guarantee you'll reach paradise if you become a martyr for Islam. We'll read about those people, bombing themselves to kill other people and things of that sort. It's a ticket to paradise in Islam. And again, nothing in the scriptures about anything like that at all. We may have to give up our life for the sake of Christ in standing up for what is right and true. That does happen in parts of the world today too, in where there's a lot of persecution and so forth that I have talked about. We're not called to do that or to go out of our way to be a martyr or anything of that sort. In the scriptures, you find that Paul and others, when there's danger, get out of that situation. They stand up for what is right and true. And ultimately, most all of those early Christian leaders, the original ones, died for their faith. They weren't trying to be martyrs. Well, non-biblical ideas continue to appear up to our own time. And John also warned in 1 John 4, verses 1 to 6, to test the spirits, he says, to see whether they are from God. For, he says, many false prophets have gone out into the world. And John calls this the spirit of the Antichrist. And it's a spirit that Jesus talked about, those who are against him as Lord and Savior. And it's mentioned other places in the scriptures, and John talks about it here a little later on in the first century in this letter he writes to Christians. Watch out for the spirit of the Antichrist, since these false teachers so often attack Jesus himself and his saving work. Well, I was thinking about all this, and whether I should really write this study, whether it needed to be done. And on Saturday, as I was thinking about this, I heard someone at the door, and it turned out to be two small boys Saturday afternoon. They didn't look to be more than 7 or 8 years old, and they were offering a free book. They had several of them. And if I wanted this free book, and I could see a car out on the street. Fortunately, a parent or parents or someone was watching over them. So they weren't doing this by themselves, but at the bidding of their parents or someone at least. Well, I recognized the book they were offering. I have a copy of it already that was given to me free by someone else years ago, a Seventh-day Adventist person. And it's a book called The Great Controversy by Ellen G. White. And she was one of the founders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the 1800s and early 1900s as well. And I asked the boys what church they went to or what this book was representing. They didn't seem to know or know even what the book was about. This encounter reminded me then that we still need to hear articles like the one that I'm speaking about and writing about, as wrong religious ideas are still being pushed today by many, even at our front door. The Seventh-day Adventists do talk about Jesus and call him as Savior, but they confuse the issue by numbers of wrong ideas and really point in different directions. They insist that the only proper day for worship is Saturday, and therefore we must follow the Old Testament commandment in the Old Testament way. And they add all kinds of dietary rules and don't allow any work of any kind on Saturday. And they reject the idea that we could be freed from commands and ceremonies by the New Covenant. Jesus clearly makes that evident to us in the New Testament. but they reject those ideas. And so again, they're pulling us away from Scripture and from what Christ really said and did, and the focus upon Him alone as our Lord and Savior. They say that they follow the Bible alone, and yet what they give out are Ellen White books, not the Bible. Their unique non-biblical ideas come largely from this woman and her writings and her claims that she received all kinds of visions and revelations and messages from God. One time even was taken up to heaven itself and saw a copy of the commandments with a halo around the commandment which says, remember the Sabbath day. And again, that's how they understand things only the Old Testament Sabbath day, sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. You just have this kind of thing around more than we realize sometimes. And I've seen ads in recent weeks in local papers, including, I think, in the Journal and Courier, offering a book called Jesus Christ, The Real Story. Well, that sounds pretty good. We'd like to hear the real story about Jesus. Unfortunately, it comes from another cultic group called the United Church of God, a group that denies the Trinity, that insists on people following, again, not only worship on Saturday, but all of the other Old Testament festivals. If we're really going to be God's people, we need to do all those Old Testament festivals as well. There's lots of them that you can find in the Old Testament. And again, our understanding is that Christ has freed us from a lot of these ceremonies and things of this sort. And we still are to worship our God regularly, but the day isn't so important, but that we worship our Lord and listen to Him and His Word. But this group, the United Church of God, along with other groups, have very different ideas about Jesus and also about the future, what's going to happen in the future. As the Seventh-day Adventists do as well. In other words, I'm writing this to encourage you to be cautious about what you read and hear, even if the claim is that this is from Christian people, Christian ideas, and so forth. We need to keep following Scripture alone and watch out for false teachers and ideas, which is exactly what John was warning us about in 1 John chapters 4 and 5, and the centrality of Christ. And we need to watch out for these false ideas, not only from clearly non-Christian groups like Islam, but some of these people are pushing Gnostic writings, but also from those who claim to be Christians. And some of these writers that are pushing Gnostic ideas, the Da Vinci Code and some of that kind of stuff, are claiming to be Christians, but they're far away from the Scriptures again in many of their teachings. And again, if you have questions about any of this or confused, send me a message or ask a pastor or raise a question in a Bible study. And above all, keep worshiping and studying Scripture with fellow believers and focusing upon Christ alone as your Savior. And as I always mention, if you can't get out to worship, there are ways you can get contact with things as in the best way that you can. Don't be afraid to ask. I just talked to somebody in my church very recently who has trouble with hearing, sometimes even in church. We have good equipment and so forth, but it still doesn't work for some people. And that's what one of the reasons I still do this podcast and put some things that people could hear on their own and maybe turn the sound up as loudly as they could, or just read the things that are here too. Because there are ways, even with our limitations, that we can stay close to Christ and to His Word. And that's really what this study is encouraging you in, and watching out for false ideas, ideas that just don't quite seem right. And there's lots of that around. And again, the Lord's blessings to you as you consider these things. And again, we close with prayer. Lord, guide and bless and strengthen us through your word, through your promises in Christ our Savior, and through the word coming to us in the gift of baptism, and through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and everything that the Scriptures teach us, and the Holy Spirit as he inspired these words of Scripture for us, and give us the very message that God wants us to hear, that we need to have, and not to depend on new ideas, new religions, claims of receiving new messages that contradict the Scriptures. None of that works, but we stay with Scripture alone and Christ as our confidence. And we pray in his great name. Amen.